I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
The day happy with Ethan Millard and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome, it's the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. Got Alex Keery here with you. And what can I say, Alex? Another week down. We did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're back from a vacay, bro.
I'm back from Disneyland.
I don't know if all you people got onto. I don't know if all you people got onto, there's a million like Disney websites and stuff out there. You're one of like 10 friends that I know that went.
Just in this last week?
Right. And I only have 10 friends. Right. I
mean, like, honestly, everyone was there.
But it was also like, it was also radio people. They're like sneaking in, vacation and stuff like right now, which is fine. You know, like it, look, get in when you need to. I'm just saying
this week.
It seemed like there were a lot of people who were doing the Disneyland thing. So did you see the usual like lots of BYU sweatshirts and stuff around?
No, I didn't.
Really?
So I looked for that because usually it's Cougar Central, right? Because that's how everyone is.
Cougar Central.
They're doing their signaling.
Right? Cougar Central. Hold on, I'm getting that URL.
Cougar Central.
Yeah, it's going to mean a lot of stuff. It's going to actually be a website. You could visit it for a lot of things.
You know, the Cougars are always signaling, right? The Utahns are always signaling via their BYU gear, okay? I didn't see very many. You know what I did see? Is I did see a bunch of Utahns going incognito in their 49ers gear.
I did see a bunch of that.
I saw a bunch of guys. I'm like, look, I'm not saying you can tell. But can you tell?
It's like
you
can tell, right? Yeah, yeah. But the other thing is,
I mean, you can see it.
It's like, where are the Utah 49er fans? Where are like the Southern California ones? You get it. Like, you see the difference. So,
yeah.
Did you end up, you got the Genie Pass, which I know was like,
Here's what we did. Disneyland is doing this whole other thing. And you're not going to find a smarter company than Disney, okay? Because what they did is they got rid of the fast passes. You could go up and get fast passes, and those were free, right?
Just front of the line.
They scheduled them out, and they were great.
You could still
do those. They got rid of that.
Oh, they got rid of it.
They got rid of it completely. And so Disney said, well, look, if they're liking this so much, I bet they'd pay for it. Mm. I think that's basically how they saw it. And so what happened is,
we can't call it fast pass because we already called it that, and that was free. So we got to call it something. I don't know. It's got to be out of the Disney family of stuff. It could be, I don't know, the King Pass, the Snow White Pass,
the Castle Pass, the Princess Pass,
all sorts of things. Yes. Mm-hmm. Castle Pass actually makes a lot of sense. So it's a Genie Pass. Okay.
It's a Genie Plus. So here's what they did. Now the lines are divided in two.
There's the
regular standby line. Mm-hmm. And the standby line is just, it is what it is. You get on when you get on, right? That's the line where you roll the dice and it says, 60, 85, 90, 120 minutes, however long it's going to be, right? They've got a real clever app that kind of shows you the updated lane times, and it was actually overestimated. So in every standby line we were in, they always overestimated it, which was cool, I thought. But so check it. So they have this other thing, though. It's called Lightning Lane. And the Lightning Lane is what you want because they prioritize the Lightning Lane. Now, but to get the Lightning Lanes for the day, it costs you $20 per person per day on top of the regular ticket price. So I looked at that and I was like, you know what? No way. Nah, I'm going to drop an extra $20 per person per day.
Right.
Okay. So the first day, we were there for 3 days. One day at Disneyland, next day at California Adventure, and the third day at Disneyland. Because I'm already splashing out cash here, right? And so we go that first day at Disneyland, and it is just standby lane hell. And so we said, you know what? Let's just try it. Because what's the real magic of Disney? The real magic of Disney is once you get into the park, you lose all sense of the value of a dollar, right? You're not able to gauge it.
Right. And there's a mode we have where we have vacation spending on our mind where we go, I'm on vacation. Right.
Yeah, this is what this money's for. Okay, we've saved this money. This is what it's for. So we got the Genie Plus, and it was incredible because they prioritize the Lightning Lanes. So you know what we did for that $20 per day per person? Every 90-minute line became a 10 to 15-minute line. It was shocking.
That's amazing. So
it was crazy.
Worth it?
So I would say that if you're going to Disneyland, I would forego every other expense. So if you budgeted $20 per person per day for food, give them granola bars and point them to the water fountain.
Ethan's like, instead, you know what's funny is I know where the water fountains are. That's the kind of guy I am. Like, I know where to go to Disney where the water fountains are. I'm all, give me your bottles. We're filling them up. We are filling these things up.
And that was me the rest of the time.
Because they let you come in. That's one thing that Disney does is they're like, look, we're taking a pound of flesh here. You can bring in whatever food you want. You can bring in all the food you want to the park.
Right. But and so that's what I did. Like the next 2 days, I said, all right, we're doing the Lightning Lanes. You guys, if you want to buy anything, you've got your own money. You know, my sons have jobs now. And I was just, you know what? I'm paying for the Lightning Lanes. Everything else is on you. Right. That's my expense. And I'll tell you, Alex.
So what?
I didn't think it would be worth it.
How many days did you do
that?
It
is so worth it.
So how many days did you pay for then?
Two.
Okay,
two
so then that's what, two times
so
what, 80?
I added 200
two
bucks.
Times 80?
I added $200. I added $200 to the vacation. Oh, but you know what? For $200, I got to the front of the line.
You would have spent that in just churros. And you would have spent that in just churros.
I could have spent that in any number of things.
I know you told your boys that they, like, hey, bring your own money if you want to buy a Marvel T-shirt in the gift shop that you get off of the ride with. Did they end up spending any of their own money at the park?
Oh, heavens no. Okay. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what happened, all right?
When they're told it's their money, then they're not doing it. Mm.
They would test me out. Yeah, they would test me out. They did this the whole time.
I love the idea of them going, what about this, though?
Should we get this?
Is that part of
the... Should we get one of these?
Well, I think this is kind of a family gift. I think that this should be kind of a family ice cream cone.
The gift of self-reliance. So this is how it went.
Boy,
right?
You're so tough. So, you know what? No one can say that you haven't enabled those kids. Good job.
Well, I didn't enable them at Disneyland. I did pay to get them at the front of all the lines.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you paid for them to get to California, so that's fine.
That's right. So they would test me over the 3 days periodically. Hey, can we try this? Or hey, what do you think of this? And I'd say, yeah, man, you got your own money. Go for it. And then they'd look at it and they'd say, it's not worth it.
Mm.
Like, you would be shocked to know that basically my kids didn't bother with any treats at all.
Hey, so I want to move on from Disneyland real quick because we did. This is now 2 weeks in a row. We've dedicated way too much time to Disney Plus and Genie Plus. Okay. We're just giving them free pub, and that's what they wanted you to do. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
true.
What they wanted you to do. So let me ask you about this because the Winter Olympics.
They owe me money.
They do
Disney
owe you
owes
money.
Me money for this.
They have fired up. Bill. You went and did a broadcast at Disney at least once, right?
Yeah, I did once. Yeah, years ago.
Yeah, they invited you. They didn't invite me. Just kind of what was the reason of that? Was I somewhere else? But they're just we're only sending one person. We're just going to send Ethan. Oh, I think the idea was because I was going on all those sports trips, and
maybe.
He was like,
yeah,
and he was like, yes,
yeah,
yes,
that might have been it.
That could have been the deal. Now,
because it's not like Disney requested me, Kevin.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I remember it being one of us went and the other one stayed back here. So I want to fire up a little bit of hot Olympics talk, okay? And and so I want you to explain to me because. I get into the Olympics. I get into all these, and you know, we have a special relationship here in the state of Utah with the Winter Olympics because we hosted them, and so we kind of feel like, it's 20 years on this year. Around this building, there have been like a handful of people who are just rocking the Roots berets that they got back in 2002, if they still work here, and like the Olympic jackets and stuff like that. So they're kind of walking around. This is sort of a power play, kind of a status thing. Of them being I covered the Olympics here. That's how long I've been here. So
just don't ask me to zip up this coat.
So my question is.
Because it was 20 years ago.
Right. My question is, the pandemic games are going on in China. But now, what are we boycotting exactly? Because I know that there's a diplomatic boycott. But I never tuned into the Olympics for the diplomats anyway. What does that mean? When they say there's a diplomatic boycott, does that mean that we're snubbing our nose at you, except for we're sending all of our athletes.
Yeah, we're sending all of our athletes to kick your butt. But no one important.
There's not
going to
be a state dinner.
We're not generally celebrating.
You're not hosting a state dinner that all of our that our little delegation is going to show up for.
Yeah,
like
we're not
diplomatic delegation is going to show up for.
That's right. We're not sending any.
What kind of a message
does
that send? Because
you.
China's just like, I don't care. We don't have to give you any dinner. And then
I think all of our athletes are showing up. I think it's embarrassing for China because when countries like the United States and others, when they say that, hey, we're sending the athletes to kick your butts, but we're not otherwise sending important people because you guys are murdering your own citizens. I think that's embarrassing because then around the world, we have that conversation again of how China is a murderous, abusive, authoritarian regime that, you know, that really should be ashamed of themselves. And that's embarrassing for them. So, and
look,
we know that
North Korea is like the worst of like the worst when it comes to regimes mm-hmm. who are kind of like putting their people last. And but the whole thing was is that who's the guy in China now?
Xi Jinping.
So yeah. Xi Jinping he showed up at the opening ceremonies. And, like, the performers turn around, and they keep bowing. A bunch of cheers mm-hmm. keep going up, and then they turn around again. They keep bowing to him.
It's because they know that's what you do when you know that someone can kill you.
Isn't
it
sad?
It,
you know what's sad is I'm watching these Chinese athletes compete, and when the guy and one of these guys is doing the ice dancing and they fall, I go, oh, boy, one of his cousins lost a finger. You know, whatever. Like, there's that part where we really do think to ourselves – They're holding some of his family hostage to be able to do this thing.
They very well could.
It's like they're holding these. The Olympics have been in all these different places where they can still kind of keep a good, clean eye on their athletes.
I think
Korean athletes still defected during their time in South Korea in Japan in the games in 18.
North Koreans are going to run for freedom every time they get the chance, and so it's. But I'll tell you what,
they can't run from China though. I mean, it's not like they can defect inside of China.
They're stuck. China will send them back to be killed.
Yeah,
because that's the kind of relationship they have. Well, and that's the kind of government that China is. China is the kind of government that has no problem with imprisoning people under stupid pretenses and sending them out to other places to be tortured and killed. So that's the kind of country China
right.
is. But I wish that we'd stop hosting the games in authoritarian regimes. I think that we should stick
it's
to
tough.
Democracies.
Well, you know what's tough is we have this bad stretch. We have this bad stretch, Ethan, where we have these games, right? We have these Olympic games, and then we have the World Cup in Qatar next year.
Yeah. We had the Olympics in Russia this year. It's just
You have this and maybe the worst of it is Qatar of all these things because this is one of those countries that 100% no one knows that much about, and so that's like powerful for them to be able to kind of do whatever they want, and they have tons of money and anyway, it's just one of these things where we have, and it's bad for my personal viewing pleasure. Like I don't, I'm not going to stay up that bit. I love the Olympics. I watch so much of the Olympics. I watch all the Olympic games. I love watching. I am like the biggest fan of this stuff. I was up till super late last night watching curling and watching women's freaking hockey. And you know what? I'm all about it. I love the games.
Yeah.
But there's that part of you, too, that kind of goes, man, these aren't, and no one's in the stands. And so, I mean, we got used to people not being in the stands for a lot of the other sporting events of the last little while. But I wondered what kind of an impact it really makes when we say we're not doing – it's a diplomatic boycott, but here come all of our athletes. And so China just goes, we don't care. You're still giving us all your athletes. You're not boycotting everybody. And so just wondering
I guess because
they don't want to punish the athletes, right? They don't want to punish the athletes.
I hope all this pressure pivots us back. I think we're finally starting to kind of open our eyes to what's been happening because we kind of celebrated the games in some very dirty places, China, Russia, you know, all these other areas of the world for the World Cup included. And we've seen, though, this has kind of mirrored this kind of experimenting with authoritarianism in places like the United States and Hungary and other places. And I hope that we're kind of past that because at the end of the day, you know why? One of the problems the Olympic Committee has had is corruption, right?
Right.
And that makes China and Russia attractive places to go to the games if you've got mm-hmm. a problem with corruption. So we had corruption here in Salt Lake. We're getting to the Olympics, and you know what happened? There were prosecutions and jail sentences. Okay, you're not going to get that in you're not going to go to jail for corruption in places like China and Russia. And that's one thing that's consistent with these oligarchs is they look to undermine the rule of law. They look to areas where they can be protected by politics and wealth. And there is that kind of – we see that kind of push. We see that kind of big money push to disrupt the rule of law, to kind of create less friction for illegal activity. I think that's one of the reasons why China and Russia are attractive for these kinds of events.
Sure. Yeah,
is because you don't have that friction. I think that's – and I think that's one of the reasons why places like Hungary and the United States, we saw that similar kind of effort to kind of disrupt the rule of law so that there was less friction for big money efforts, you know, so that you could kind of be shielded by wealth and politics. You could be shielded from consequences. And so hopefully we're getting past that, and we'll go back to having the games in places like Norway and the United States, in places where we know that the rule of law is in place and secure, that it's a democratic state that's going to be respectful of the citizens, and that's going to be a force for good in the world rather than objectively a force for malice.
Ethan, I read this article today.
It's here.
And it's on essential oils. Okay. Mm. KSL.com put it up, but it also, it was in the Deseret News. That's where I saw it first. Essential oils conquered the medicine cabinets across the West, but do they work? This is 2022, and we're doing this whole do they work thing. And here's the deal. They start talking about Young Living and doTERRA, each of which do over $1 billion in annual sales, are headquartered in Utah. Mm-hmm. I think they're saying that like, hey, aren't you glad? Aren't you grateful? Like, they're headquartered here in Utah, man. But that's more, I mean, I don't know. The essential oil thing, the whole article was like, suddenly essential oils have been popping up in legitimate medical research reviews. It's worth asking, have essential oils arrived? And I thought
where
to myself.
Where did you read it?
In the Deseret freaking news. And they're doing a piece basically that goes, you know, the medical industry is also jumping on board with this.
Well, the problem though in the industry, and this is
it's not about the product; it's about how they sell it, right? It's more about
that's right.
How bad
the business model. I mean, these are companies that have effectively, with the help of Senator Hatch, figured out how to kind of really carefully thread the needle regarding pyramid schemes.
Oh, it's not a pyramid scheme. It is a multi-level. Triangular shape.
Triangle of success. and that's the problem.
Have you ever bought into not bought it? Because I've never actually bought any essential oils. But my
have I ever joined a pyramid scheme?
No. Have you ever like? Because I think we worked in an office here. There were people who had like money trees on their desk. They had Do you remember when they paid like thousands of dollars to feng shui the sales area?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
I remember that.
Our former general manager, imagine how stupid that sounds now. They feng shuied the freaking sales area at KSL. Like, I'm saying it out loud now, and I'm going, oh, my gosh,
that's the company we were.
You know what's
for,
funny is that there are still remnants of it, too. Some of these people have left these people. Some of the feng shui people. No, some of these salespeople who, by the way, don't come
to the office
anymore.
Yeah, they're like the little toads with the coins in their
mouths.
Yes,
they have all those golden things around on here. So I feel like that lives in the same area as if you want to buy the person who you buy feng shui from,
mm-hmm.
or, hey, can you come in? Can we, like, I don't know, clear the energy? And, you know, it's some lady from South Jordan who's got like a lot of some extra, you know, bracelets on that jingle as she walks through the office. And so she's like, oh, yeah, I feel some energy over here. That's my cubicle. Oh, well, you're going to have some success this year. Yay. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going, this is so funny to me. Have you been a user of the essential oils before and found out that they worked?
Me? Are you asking me?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you and Emily maybe got into it, had some diffusers around the house.
Oh, well, we have a whole other – there was a whole other thing that we did. But, no, look, beyond smelling good, I wouldn't hang my hat on anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Just make it like a super expensive potpourri.
They smell cool, but
– Miller.
I've got a Zen headline.
I know you
want to hit his Zen headlines?
Boom. Let's do it. Yeah, what do you got?
Are they trying to bust down the door of the studio yet? I keep looking at the time
is what I'm looking at. So just making sure. Okay. Somebody booked the studio. They didn't even ask us if we're doing the Nightside Project podcast in here. What are they doing?
Oh, my gosh.
They'll come in. But I've got 3 minutes left, a good solid 3 minutes left.
I want to thank Ryan for submitting this.
I thought you were going to say, I want to thank doTERRA, sponsors of the podcast.
Join our downline.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Go ahead. Ryan gave us a Zen headline. What a shocker.
Ryan has changed his Twitter handle to Alex,
you know what?
Curie's unappreciated intern.
You'll keep working for free, Ryan. Okay? Interns aren't a thing in 2022. We can't invite the dirty interns in to breathe their COVID. It's a bunch of unvaxxed interns, man, trying to burst the door down, getting this building.
All right.
What'd Ryan send you?
When 19-year-old Dairy Queen manager Joy Prusak was serving a blind customer.
DQ. Oh, a blind customer. Yes.
Yeah. He noticed the man drop a $20 bill. The woman behind the blind man grabbed the $20 bill, put it in her purse. Prusak took the woman aside and instructed her to return the money. Afterwards, she said no. The teenager told her, quote, ma'am, you can either return the $20 bill or you can leave because I'm not going to serve someone as disrespectful as you. The woman left. Then Prusak returned to the blind man, gave him $20 of his own money. I was just doing what I thought was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Two things out of this story, because I like to focus on this kid, but I also want to just make sure everybody knows this lady sucks. Like, I wish I don't want to dox her or anything, but, you know, I wish that we knew. I wish we had some surveillance footage of this lady who sucks.
I wish that he would have called the police.
Yeah, because, listen, yeah, it's a he said, she said, and it's, yeah, there's some real pricks out there in the world. You know how it is. Can I say that?
Yeah.
This is
you
a podcast.
Just did.
Yeah, it's a podcast. It's fine.
So thanks, Ryan. If anyone wants to share a Zen Headlines with us, use hashtag Zen Headlines. And we'll use it, put it on the air. We'll give you credit for it.
That's right. That's right. We absolutely will. I have no problem using it, too. Unless it stinks. Mm-hmm. Unless it stinks. And no, you don't get paid for every Zen headline you send in, right?
No, that's silly.
Stop making those requests, all right? Maybe one day we'll get back to the point where we start making some really good cash on this thing. But today's not that day, all right? Miller, did you have fun?
Yeah, man. I always love this.
Yeah, me too.
Catching up with you.
Every week now we're doing this. We're like being – this is the most consistent this show's been in
quite some time.
Yeah. I had this this week was my last week on KSL. They keep saying that this last week was going to be last week, but this last week was. So without much fanfare. Well, Unrivaled's not played on KSL News Radio anymore.
Oh, they were playing it.
Right.
They were
still playing it at
simulcasting.
Night. Yeah, so you or I have been on those airwaves basically uninterrupted since 2006. End of an era, my friend. But we're still doing this.
Can I tell you something?
What?
It's actually not going to end.
That's true. Actually, that's true.
I'm going to be participating.
And I still do the Sunday show as well.
Not on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I'm going to be participating on what they're doing next on KSL.
Oh, you are? You're one of those people?
I'm one of those people.
I saw the list, and I didn't see you on there. Maybe they didn't want to. I'm going to be honest. Is it a tryout? Is this a tryout or you just
No, I'll just be on there whenever they kind of need me to be on there. They've got me scheduled out for I think 2 days over the next 2 weeks. I'll be doing it. So.
No, that's good.
No, I'm
gotta have one of us. Gotta have one of us, and both of us do a financial show on the weekend with different companies too. Yes. So there you go.
But here's the thing, Alex. I'm not trying out.
Well, I'm going to tell you too. You're not going to have much. You don't have much competition.
All right.
So there you go.
It's a good thing it's not a tryout.
Millard, we'll talk to you next week, man. Download the podcast for Ethan Millard. I'm Alex Curie. Send it to friends. Tell a friend, teach a neighbor. We'll see y'all later.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.